Do guns keep women safe? All kinds of research tells us no, but self-defense is still the main reason women own firearms. Guns in America's Lisa Hagan reports on how women's relationships with guns are complicated and don't necessarily line up with data about their safety. A note for listeners, this story contains descriptions of domestic violence.
At this year's National Rifle Association annual meeting, President Donald Trump invited some special guests on stage. The first was a young mother from Virginia, April Evans.
She was home alone with her two-year-old daughter when an intruder broke into her home violently. April took care of it.
I shot him twice and I held him at gunpoint until the police arrived.
Her story reinforces an idea both the NRA and the gun industry celebrate, that guns keep women safe in an unsafe world.
This is something that you will hear a lot if you hang out in pro-gun circles. There's all these mantras and phrases.
That's University of Arizona sociologist Jennifer Carlson.
There is one that is some version of God created man and woman, but Samuel Colt made them equal.
Carlson became an NRA certified instructor as part of her research on guns. And plenty of that training is about the basics of shooting skills and safety.
But kind of underlying all of this is a presumption about crime that whatever happens to you, it's probably going to be strangers who perpetrate it. It's going to be sudden. It's going to be fast. It's going to be violent. And really, the only thing you have to do is figure out how to basically train your muscle memory to respond as fast as possible.
Carlson says what gets left out is that most sexual assaults don't look like that. Neither does domestic violence.
You are experiencing crime and victimization not as sort of a one-off acute moment of violence, but it's generally mental abuse, psychological abuse, financial abuse.
According to the FBI, attacks from strangers make up less than one-third of violent crimes against women, meaning the vast majority of violence women face comes from people they know, usually romantic partners. In Janet Paulson's case, the attack came from her husband. She had asked him for a divorce. He was an alcoholic. One day in 2015, she came home to her Georgia suburb to drop off some groceries when she saw him out of the corner of her eye.
And he was leaning against that wall, cocking a gun.
He shot her 6 times in the driveway, paralyzing her in one leg, before he killed himself. She does not think a gun would have helped her.
My brain went right to get out of the situation. I wouldn't have been able to get into a shootout with him.
She's had plenty of time to think about it. After the attack, she learned to shoot. It was part of her recovery.
The images that I used to have of seeing him cocking that gun and pointing it at me, they kind of faded after I went through that training. And instead, the view was from behind the gun, with me holding the gun.
For a while, carrying the gun around made her feel safer. And then one day it didn't.
I think I had a flight to go somewhere and I took it out and I didn't feel comfortable carrying it anymore.
It was a lot of responsibility. She keeps it at home now, in her walker. And Paulson does not want anyone taking that gun away from her. But she's also become an advocate for restricting firearms access for abusers. That work has pitted her against Georgia's staunch pro-gun community.
You say anything about gun control, people assume you are anti-gun. And obviously, I'm not.
Paulson is not on board with the idea that guns are a solution to the kind of violence she survived.
Forget laws, forget police protection, forget the judicial system. You know, no, your safety depends on whether or not you're a good shot. What f*** that.
A gun helped Paulson heal from her husband shooting her. She just doesn't get why women's safety should rest on their shoulders alone. For Guns in America, I'm Lisa Hagan.